Hey, what's up, everybody, over at the Social Anxiety Remedy. Welcome to the podcast. Yesterday, we went over, for the first time again, kind of my daily routine of what I went through when I was struggling with social anxiety and what it kind of looks like as of now and all the habits that I've put in place and the tools that I'm now using to kind of cheat the system and do those little tasks that compound so highly over the years and lead to you overcoming your social anxiety, along with obviously our five kind of paths and step-by-step system to overcoming it, which if you forgot already, kind of remind you. The first one, like we've talked about a lot here, is our EFT tapping. Number two is our subconscious releases, where we're able to go in and really dig up kind of past experiences and past traumas that are the underlying issues to why we're all struggling with social anxiety. Three is developing that new character and becoming this new self that in a short period of time you won't even be able to recognize anymore. And that's a really good thing, guys. Trust me. And fourth, meditation, something that I preach a lot. And if you haven't gotten into meditation yet, or you think it's kind of just like a wacko thing, I really urge you to check it out a little bit. Do your own research. Obviously, I'm not, just because I'm on this podcast doesn't mean that you should be listening to every word that I say. Obviously, take that peace of mind. But meditation is something that is so helpful for people with social anxiety, because it actually allows them to just stop thinking. And when you're having a panic attack, especially when you have this anxiety, that's what so many people can't do. You get this attack and you say, oh shit, I have this anxiety, it's building up, but you can't do anything about it. You know you should, but you can't. And with social anxiety and with meditation, it helps you and allows you to turn off thoughts and really get present in the moment. And that's what ends panic attacks and makes them essentially go away. That and meditation just allows you to kind of control your emotions better, control your thoughts, and not let them control you. And then fifth, finally, is obviously our exposure therapy and the tasks that we do in order to kind of build up our personality, to build up our, you know, multiple facets that will become habits towards us going out and having social gatherings and social events and social interactions in the near future. Obviously, building up over time from small tasks to much larger, grandiose tasks where you're able to actually like control an entire room and you have everybody laughing and feeding off you and giving everybody else your energy and really not needing anything from anybody else, but them kind of craving something from you. So that's really the top five step-by-step processes. Like I said, if you didn't see the video or the episode yesterday, I always say video for some reason. If you didn't see listen to the episode yesterday, totally check it out. Kind of went on a rant there. It kind of explained where I've been for the past month of my hiatus. So check that out. Today we're going to be going over something that I used to talk about a lot, but I've kind of, especially in this podcast and to a lot of my students, I haven't been speaking on lately, because when I work with students, I usually try to keep it to a very minimum because I don't have a lot of time during the day. Obviously, I'm doing a lot of work right now. So a lot of those students that I have right now, the people that I'm working with solely and face-to-face and whatnot, they're pretty far along the lines of kind of our step-by-step processes and our six-week kind of program that I like to run through. So the beginning that I usually talk about is something called, as you all know, self-image and self-esteem. And when we're struggling with social anxiety, that's one of the biggest things that we actually don't have. We don't have this kind of sense of confidence in ourselves, this core belief that we're even worthy to overcome our social anxiety. And that's why we go through these tapping sessions, and that's why we go through our subconscious releases, because we're trying to release those limiting beliefs that we've had for so long, and they're so deep down into our subconscious that we don't even know we have usually, and they're just constantly replaying themselves over and over again. So One of my favorite books of all time. I was actually kind of going over it today as I thought about what I was going to talk about, is Psycho-Cybernetics, and it's by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. So Dr. Maxwell Maltz was a plastic surgeon, I think in probably the early to mid 1900s. And he kind of had all of these notes and all these explorations of, you know, studies and case by case circumstances of what people went through before they came in to have their, you know, nose done or their face lifted or whatever. I think he specialized in accidents and when somebody had an accident and fixing their face of scars and whatnot. And he wrote down and he studied what those people went through before, okay, while their face was a little damaged, and then after he actually basically completely fixed it, where you couldn't see any other deformity in the face at all. And what he found was really shocking. And what it was that people would come into him and they would get their face fixed. At the beginning, they would feel awful about themselves. They would just feel completely ugly and disgusted by themselves. And then he would go in under the knife and he would fix them. And they would come out and they would literally look completely different. Okay, 100% different from what they came in. Okay, he would see it. His team would see it. Their own friends would see it. Okay, and they would tell him how amazing they looked. But for some reason, a lot of the time, they couldn't see it themselves. And they thought that something was still wrong and that they really didn't get fixed all that much at all. And what he found was really, truly fascinating, because as he studied this more and more and as it happened so often, he started to realize that there was just a pattern to this. And the pattern was this self-image that somebody held about themselves. And this can be a metaphor for so many other things, but how somebody's looks, okay, can be determined by their actual just self-esteem and what they believe to be true about themselves. Okay, my favorite quote in that book is, "People always act and feel and perform in accordance with what they believe to be true about themselves and their environment." So I talked about this yesterday, kind of how I was saying you don't attract. You attract who you are, okay? You attract the you attract who you are as a person. You don't attract what you do. So you have to understand that if you're trying to become this person who is over social anxiety and is completely confident in yourself, you have to be that person now. And I know that's kind of confusing, because it's like, what the fuck? Like, how do I be this person now? It's by actually going through the processes and acting as if you are this person, okay? Being the person that you would expect to have overcome all anxiety already, okay? The person that would actually deserve to do those things, because you are following step-by-step processes in order to overcome your social anxiety. And I say this all the time, guys, but it doesn't mean, it's not a bad thing that you're acting as if until it really is you. You are it at the beginning. And when you have these thoughts and you have these emotions, like you already have it, it just comes to you so much easier. Whether you want to say it's like the wooey-wooey Eastern philosophy stuff, how you get to attract what you want, you just have to think about it. There's a bit of truth in that. But in reality, what I believe, and you can believe what you want, like I said, it's just these small characteristics and building these fundamental blocks that you end up feeling, you end up becoming this person over time. And it's just from small subtleties and talking with people and building up these emotions and building up certain circumstances that you can reference on. So when it came to, you know, the self-image and how we continue to see people looking at themselves and not feeling great, he decided to kind of figure out what was going on there. And when you're struggling with social anxiety, self-esteem is so hard to kind of just have, right? You feel you have this negative self-talk to you all the time. You just always are kind of saying, I suck, like I'm shit, I'm not gonna be able to do this, other people can do it, I can't do it. Every time you even branch out sometimes to go ahead and maybe talk to a group of people or try to get into a, you know, social interaction, you're gonna have these thoughts coming into your head like you're not good enough. And that's from your subconscious speaking, and it's from years and years of you know, things being pushed into your brain that's just telling you you're not good enough. So self-image and self-esteem is something that we need to have. It's something that we need to start liking ourselves better. So it comes full circle. How do we start liking ourselves better? Because it's easy to say, just have a good self-esteem, bro. Like, just be self-confident. Just have good self-image. But in reality, it's really hard to do that. Okay, you can't just, like I said yesterday, with kind of the happiness scales of apathy being at the bottom and then just like pure bliss being at the top. You can't just build your self-esteem from shit to amazing in one day, right? You have to continue to go up that ladder from like maybe apathy to anger to whatnot. And so when we're building our self-esteem, how do we really like ourselves? Well, most people, okay, even though you might not know it, okay, you might not be fully conscious of it, most people, they don't really like themselves. Okay, don't really like the things that the person that they are. And that's really because you're not doing the things that you know you should be doing, that you know you can be doing. Okay, in my when I go through my Facebook group and when I'm accepting the individuals who are joining the Facebook group, I look at some of the questions I ask. I just ask them like one question. I'm just like, why do you want to overcome your social anxiety? And I got an answer the other day that just like really blew me away. And it was just something that I thought was so spot on. And it said something along the lines of, I'm tired of not being the person that I know that I can be because social anxiety is just holding me back from becoming that person. And I thought that was so true because that's something that I felt like and I experienced every single day growing up with social anxiety. I just knew that I had this person, this guy's this authentic self inside of me. And when I was alone and I was just doing all different things, but then when I tried to branch out and tried to have amazing experiences, I just closed up and I couldn't do it. And I had an awful, awful self-image and I had awful self-esteem. So that's something that I wanted to touch on today and I kind of wanted to go over. A lot of us are just so, we have so much fear. Okay, just fear of the unknown and fear of something that's going to be happening. And honestly, guys, some people need to have some fear right now, okay? You really need to have some fear, but not what you're expecting, okay? You shouldn't be afraid of just taking chances because, you know, taking chances is not what you're going to be regretting on your deathbed, right? Because a lot of people that I talk to, it seems like they don't believe that they're actually going to die. Newsflash, you are. And you don't know when it's going to happen. It's count the calendar, guys. Count the days. It's maybe a few, like maybe 10,000 days that you have. Like seriously, it could be 10,000 days that you have, and that might become even sooner. Like who the fuck knows? So what you should be afraid of is, you know, going through your life doing the same mediocre thing over and over and over again, just thinking about what if and never taking that chance. Like you have to see where there's a crossroad. And if there's not a crossroad, then you have to just fucking make one your own and kind of go for it and become this new self. And that's why I've really even created this whole program that I have out right now in the whole kind of coaching what my students are, because it's something that I didn't have. Okay, I didn't know this kind of stuff. I would just go to therapy and I would just think that this is what every single person does and this is the only thing out there. Medication, I didn't really like that kind of stuff. I mean, I was already really abusing different substances, so I didn't really want to take that kind of stuff, that medicine, because I had really bad experiences with other kinds of drugs and I had friends that had took it and it was awful for them. And like I've said in previous videos, for some people, medication can be great, right? But I just didn't think it was the right route for me. So with therapy and stuff, I just didn't know there was other options. I didn't know that people had overcome their social anxiety to the extent that you really possibly can. And in such a short time, if you do the actions and the steps, and if you're following the right principles, if you're not just talking to somebody, a therapist, and getting those little small hits of dopamine every time you go, and then you feel amazing because they're giving you sympathy and they're They're making you feel better, and they're building up kind of your fake self-esteem, okay? That's what I like to call it. It's like your fake self-image. It's just somebody telling you and putting you on and saying, I understand, it's okay, it's okay. And you feel sympathy, and then you leave, and then all of a sudden, you wake up the next day, and you're like, you don't know what happened. You feel the same exact way. You go home for the hour after the session, you're like, oh, that feels good. Somebody finally understands me. I get that little hit of dopamine. And then you wake up the next morning, and they're just nothing. You're just like, what did we talk about? What did we even say? What advice did they even give me? I don't know. They gave me maybe a little breathing technique, a little breathing philosophy, say, oh, I understand what you're going through. So next session is going to be blah, 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 how much money, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of like, it's just like a repeating cycle. It's giving you just enough of an addiction of a dopamine to keep going back because somebody you think knows what you're going through. But most of the time they don't. Most of the time they've never even had social anxiety for themselves, guys. So if self-esteem and self-image is something that you are struggling with, and it usually will be if you're struggling with social anxiety, check out the Psycho-Cybernetics. Okay, it's by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It's a pretty tough read. I'm not gonna lie, but it has some of the most interesting points and important topics that could possibly made. It talks about building habits and kind of changing the habits that you have. It talks about how when we're going through life, and maybe even when we're going through our exposure therapy that we talk about, I use this a lot. I use this kind of quote that Dr. Maxwell Maltz uses when I do my exposure therapy with my students. Your fear always comes from an image that you create in your mind. So when we're about to do these exposure therapies, and you can use this in any type of metaphor that you want, and you're about to maybe go up to a group of people and just try to initiate a conversation, what's going to happen first is you're going to have these mental images pop up, okay? Feeling follows imagery, okay? That is what you have to remember. Feeling follows imagery. So you're going to have these mental images that pop up before you even walk over, right? That's your subconscious bringing up these kind of mental pictures, giving you maybe future circumstances that you think is going to happen based on realities that did happen in the past where you got blown out and you got absolutely maybe just completely, emotionally wrecked, and it was a bad experience for you. You're going to have these images pop up in your mind. And then what's going to happen is a feeling is going to follow, okay? And that feeling is going to be what social anxiety is. It's going to be that panic that comes over you. It's going to be that just crippling sensation that makes your body feel tight and tighten up and doesn't let you be loose, which he actually talks about in the book a lot, along with a certain meditation that you should totally check out, how just loosening up your body, your physical characteristic, can decrease your anxiety immensely. Talk about this all the time, guys. Remember, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting, okay? Changing your body, and that's what I do in the new character as well, not just becoming this new person with your authenticity stuff, but actually like building a kind of status that you have. It's called like power poses, and the tone of your voice, guys, the tone of your voice is going to bring these new statuses, especially even when you talk to other people, and it's what makes people look at you differently, okay? Body language and vocal tonality, that's, you see, I'm kind of like overemphasizing it, but these are almost 90% of what all human connection or communication is, okay? The things that you say really are not that important, and I know that's weird to fucking hear, because usually you've never heard that before, but the things that you say are not that important. It's the way that you say them. It's the way that people see you saying them. It's how much, force that you, not force, but it's how much sureness that you say them with, and confidence that you say them with, that makes people really listen to you and have great conversations with you and respect you, okay? And respect you, and don't just see you as this shy person who's maybe opening up for the first time to somebody. And so that's what I teach so much in creating this new character. And when we do the exposure therapy, I emphasize it so much because it gives you so much better results, and you start to be able to do amazing and fantastic things with people. So guys, remember, feeling follows imagery. So what he says in his book is you're actually able to cut off this kind of thing that happens with the feeling follows imagery. Okay, there's going to be a mental image, and then you're going to get a feeling. Usually the mental image is going to be a bad thing. So say you're walking up to a bunch of people, right? It's going to be an image of you just absolutely failing and embarrassing yourself awfully. But what you can do is intercept that. And before you're about to do that, you can imagine, okay, you can have the image in your mind that you're actually doing, you're actually being successful. Okay, you're actually succeeding at what you were trying to do. And because you create that mental image right before, you're going to get a feeling after, and the feeling is going to be based on that mental image, and it's actually going to be good, and you're actually going to get positive expectation. And you'd be so surprised how just a positive expectation and a positive kind of self-image can correlate to your success in social gatherings, social situations, and communication skills. Your brain freezes up when you want to talk to somebody. Okay, I know the feeling. I completely understand it. And it's usually when you actually really, really want to talk to somebody. It's when you actually have a real desire to do it. And it's the most important person. Like, say you're talking to maybe like your niece or something like that. Just your niece who's 3 years old. Do you really get social anxiety doing that? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. So the feeling follows imagery. So when we're able to kind of just take this image and create a new one, put a new one in our mind, it's just like in time we defeat it, because it just becomes a way for practicing anti-worry. Okay, because every time something comes up like that, every time we see this mental image, we say, nope, I'm gonna flip it, I'm gonna change that mental image. And then every time that happens, you become less anxious, and it becomes a pattern. And like I say, we continue building our patterns, and they block and block up, and eventually become this new person. Okay, I think it was, I don't know if it was Confucius or a scholar back then, but I remember he was on his deathbed, and one of his students came to him and said, so Confucius or whoever it was, what's like the secret to life? What's the secret to mastery? And he said it was repetition and, what was it? It was repetition and, doing things slowly and building up. There's a word for that, but I don't know why I can't figure it out right now. So repetition and slowly, increasingly doing more and more. So say you're working out, okay, good metaphor. Repetition, you have to do it a set period of time every single week or whatever you want, and you have to slowly build up to it, because if you don't, you're just gonna stop. Okay, have you noticed that? Have you noticed all of your New Year's resolutions? He talks about this in the book too, Maxwell Maltz. Have you noticed in all of your New Year's resolutions, when you just say, I'm gonna work out, you go in and you try to hammer it in the first week, and you try to go all out, and you're like, shit, there's no way. Sorry, I got a big garbage truck picking up some stuff. There's no way that I'm gonna do this. There's no way I can do this for a whole year, from the rest of my life even. So what you do is you gradually, that's what it is. So gradualization, that's a word, gradual, and repetition. Okay, gradually build up to the process. Maybe the first day you just walk a mile on the treadmill or something like that. And you continue to build and build and build, and then you stick with it and it becomes easier, and then down the road, right? You become this new person. So that's a workout, kind of a fitness type of metaphor, but it can be used for social anxiety as well. And it's what builds your self-esteem. Something else that builds self-esteem as well. Talked about it yesterday. That it sounds like a wooey thing, but so proven to drastically increase your mental kind of capacity, your mental space, your mental self-love, is affirmations. So telling yourself that, you know, I am amazing, blah, 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 blah. Your own affirmations. I have my own. You're going to have your own unique ones. I help people create their own unique ones through creating the new character, kind of part of our coaching. So yeah, guys, I just wanted to make sure that I talked to you guys today. Remember, I'm trying to do this 5 times a week, so I'm getting after it. And just felt like that was a great discussion. And if you guys liked it, Okay, make sure that you rate it. That really helps me get as much, get as in front as to people as I possibly can, because I'm just trying to help as many people as I can right now. I'm trying to build this thing up to a great community base, just like the Facebook group. I'm putting EFT tapping videos in there right now. We're doing a social anxiety tap along. I'm about to record that, and I'm gonna post that in the Facebook group today, and that should be great. So if you wanna check that out, we're also just great community in there. So I'll link that in the description below. But guys, hope you have great rest of your day. Peace.